Hey, good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Kingdom Life Church. Thank you for making our service your service this morning. I have a word for you. God has blessed, downloaded a word specifically for you this morning, so you are at the right place. Before we get started, I want to first give honor to our pastor, to my pastor, Pastor Michael Phillips, and his wife, Dr. Anita Phillips. God has blessed them, has opened up doors for them, and they're just doing great, great, great work for the kingdom. Today I'm Pastor-elect Jeff Morton, and I want to also give honor to my wife, First Lady-elect Ariel Morton. God bless you. I have a word for you. I have a word for you, and I just want to get right into it right now. The concept for this message came when I was in my thoughts. And I don't know about y'all, but sometimes, specifically during this COVID, you know, we've been having a lot of time to reflect and think, but I was just in my thoughts, and it was while I was sleeping, and I was getting into these deep, 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 dark thoughts, and I began to just reject and forbid these thoughts, right? And I started rebuking those thoughts with my words. I couldn't even think about them. I had to open up my mouth and say, no. And those thoughts were casted down. But unfortunately, even though those thoughts were casted down, I became anxious. And I was anxious because there were thoughts that were coming up that I thought were gone, that I thought that were gone for good, that would never come back. And they came back. And it worried me a bit. I got a bit anxious. And the Lord, as I prayed that night, immediately the Lord led me to study the moon. The moon, right, in the sky, that dusty ball that's filled with mountains and huge craters. And, you know, that moon that's floating in the sky, that giant rock, right? It we know that it's Earth's natural satellite. Its purpose is to never leave Earth's side. And regardless of the galactic punishment it takes, no matter how lifeless it looks, whether it's seen or not, it's always there. It's a rock that can be depended upon. So I started really studying this thing. I'm like, Lord, this is poetic, what you're telling me about it. And he started showing me as I began to study that it is a major contributor to Earth resources, right? Earth gets its strong tides because of the moon, the rising and the falling of sea levels. This helps fishermen navigate the sea. The tides also help the reproduction in ocean life. It allows certain ocean life to go from here to there because of the rising and the fall. It helps control the weather. The moon helps lengthen Earth days. It also, because of the gravitational pull, it manages Earth's wobble. It keeps the Earth on its axis. Come on, I'm already preaching. It helps Earth reach a certain speed so that it doesn't spin out of control and out of space. It stabilizes Earth's climate. It provides the seasons, right? And my favorite part is that the moon becomes a nightlight, a nightlight, right? During the night, it reflects the sunlight that we may be able to see during the night. And some of us need a nightlight during our darkest nights. The Earth has its nightlight. And this allows life on Earth to avoid pitfalls and getting tripped up. God was showing me through this study that regardless of what tries to attack me or my mind, it can never prevail because God will lead me back to the rock. Come on, somebody, that covers me. And this revelation led me to two passages of scripture that I want you to get right now, right? If you have a phone, you have a Bible. If you, wherever you are, grab your Bible. And if you're lucky, it'll show up on the screen. But I want to make sure you get to this scripture. It's John chapter 1, verses 40 through 42. And then we're going to go and we're going to go to Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18, right? And here's the beginning of the word here in John's gospel. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated means Christ. He brought him to Jesus, and Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. Now we're going to go right on over to Matthew's gospel, chapter 16, 13 through 18. And it says, "Now when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?' And they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets,'" right? "He said to them, 'But who do you yourselves say that I am?' And Simon Peter answered, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus said to him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades," some verses says, "and hell will not overpower it, will not prevail against it." The search of our identity can only be found on the revelation of God's identity. The search of our identity can only be found on the revelation of God's identity. Today, I want to discuss how we discover our own identity. You guys ready? Praise God. And this particular passage opens up. They, the disciples, who were disciples of John, who were being preached about the Messiah, who was being preached about the Christ, that of his coming, they found him. They actually found the Messiah. And as soon as they encounter Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, Jesus meets Peter for the first time and he gives Peter a name. Can you imagine? As soon as you meet Christ, Peter didn't bow down to him, or it wasn't this, you know, this glorious, you know, moment, this angelic moment. As soon as he met him, Jesus gave him a name. Jesus gives Peter a name. He says, "He shall be called Cephas," which is Peter, which in the Greek, Cephas or Peter means is Petros. The Greek word Petros means rock. It's a rock. It's a small, detached rock. What an honor, right? What an honor that the Lord gives you a nickname that symbolizes strength, and it's concrete and it's solid. Come on. How many of us know that what it's like to get elevated, what it's like to go from here to there? But when you get elevated, everyone around you start acting a little different, right? Because they can't respect the change. They can't respect seeing you go from here to there. How many of you have ever experienced that? They still view you as baby boy or baby girl, but you grown, right? With your own babies. Come on, somebody. They still view you as an employee. But now you're your own boss. You got people working for you. They still view you as single. But you're married to someone. They still view you as a follower. But now you have elevated to a leader. They still view you as a student. But come on, y'all. You know you graduated a long time ago. They still view you as that guy or as that girl that continues to make all those mistakes and transgress. But you a winner. You're over all of that. They can't accept what you've always been. They can't accept your identity is just now being revealed. And just because they don't know your true identity, God always knew. God knows. He knows the beginning from the ending. He sees you as you are and is guiding you to be revealed. Come on, somebody. This is your moment. He is guiding you to be revealed. He knows the hidden things and will make those things known to those who allows God all authority. And Jesus tells Simon, you shall be called Peter. What an honor. What an honor. In your first encounter with Jesus, he gives you a name. He promotes you. He elevates you. What an honor. But what is a name without a connection? What is a title without direction? In one moment, you went from being known as the employee to now being identified as the boss. But what's the connection? You went from being known as somebody's girlfriend or somebody's boyfriend to now being identified as somebody's wife or husband. You went from being known as that student to now you're a graduate. You did it. You went from being someone's child to now being identified as a parent. You went from being loose, hitting the streets, kicking it. And now people are identifying you as changed. You're a Christian. You follow after Christ. In one moment, Jesus gives Simon a name, an elevation, a new position. But that new position, that new elevation is detached. It has no direction. There's no vision. There's no assignment. There's no model. There's no blueprint. And Simon is given his name and he doesn't, what does this even mean? I've been elevated, but I don't know where to go. I don't know what it looks like. And throughout the Gospels, Peter is trying to figure out this new identity. Christ gave him this identity, but Peter doesn't know what it looks like. Come on, somebody. God gave you a second chance, but you don't know what it looks like. You want to start a new business. Come on. But you don't know what that looks like. You like to get married one day and you're looking around, but you still don't know what that's going to look like. I want to send my kids. This is just me. I want to send my kids to a good school, maybe a private school. But I don't know what that looks like. I don't know how that's going to hurt my pockets. God has opened up an opportunity. But I don't know what it looks like. I want to believe in God. I want to follow Christ. But I don't know what that even looks like. And Peter is doing the best he can trying to figure out this new identity. Come on. I'm trying to figure it out. I've been so devoted to what I used to be. I don't know how to be what he's called me to be. I'm stuck. Who am I talking to? I'm stuck. I'm stuck on a rock. I'm stuck on a rock. And for the sake of this message, for the sake of this message, a rock is what you place your faith in. It's what you put all of your love and faith in. It is the structure that shapes your behavior. It's how you act, right? Whatever you believe is what will show up in your actions. It's your rock. And that shapes our behavior. And so what might be shaping your behavior? It might be tradition. Maybe your religion is shaping your behavior. Maybe it's your political views. Maybe it's a person or a group of people. Maybe it's the chain or a relic or a statue. What is your rock? Is it fear? What you place your faith in is your rock. And your rock will shape your behavior. And your behavior will define your identity. You know, what you do defines your identity. And while Simon, God gave him Peter. So while Peter is trying to figure out this new identity, this name, Jesus, at the same time, Jesus's identity is being tested. It's so amazing that now that you're trying to figure out your identity, meanwhile, Jesus' identity is being tested. In the book of Matthew, there is tension that is going on. And this tension occurs in the book of Matthew, and it begins, and this tension begins after the fact. The tension happens after Jesus had already performed some amazing miracles. He had already fed 5,000 people with five loaves of bread and two fish, right? He walks on water. He heals a daughter of a non-Jewish woman. He goes to a mountain to just chill, I just want to relax, get away from all the stuff. But his fame is so out of this world that crowds follow him when he's trying to take a break. And there, he's healing the lame. He's healing the cripple. He's healing the blind. He's healing the mute. And many others are being healed. And then in the Bible, I thought that Jesus only fed thousands with just a few fish and a few loaves of bread. But he does it twice in the Bible. He feeds thousands of people twice with just a few fragments of food. And these religious leaders begin to question Jesus' identity. So while you're trying to search for your identity, trying to figure out what it is, meanwhile, Jesus' identity is in question. And the leaders of this religious sect, they're requesting that Jesus proves he is what the evidence. Come on, somebody. They're asking him, prove what the evidence already say you are. They say that we want to see a sign. We want to see a miracle from heaven. Come on. We want to see a sign. And a miracle and the signs are not for the believers. Maybe you are already a believer. The signs and the wonders are not for you. It's for the non-believers. It is a sign for them. You are already a believer. I got news. You are the miracle. You are the miracle. Come on, somebody. You know what God did for you back in the day. You know how he's changed your life. You know what you used to do and the things that you went through. You should be dead and gone because of the things that you used to do. If you're looking for a miracle, you should look at yourself. If you're somebody right now and you're struggling and you're looking for a miracle, grab your phone and take a picture. You are the miracle. The lifestyle that is working in you is the evidence of the miracle that is working on the inside of you. Your new lifestyle is that miracle. People all say all the time, I remember when little so-and-so used to do that. But look at you now. That's the miracle. The miracle is for the non-believers so they can see, wow, I remember when you used to do that. I remember when I'm surprised you're still living. I'm surprised you're still alive. Look at God. That's the miracle. Come on. And right now you're asking for a miracle. You're asking a miracle in your home. And you're asking for a miracle. You're asking for God to change that husband or change that wife. Why? God changes them, but you're still cussing them out. Right? You're saying, listen, change my spouse, change my significant other. But you're still finding out ways and why it's okay to cheat on them. The miracle is not changing you. The miracle doesn't change your mindset. Only faith in God changes you. The miracle is just a flashlight. It's fireworks. The miracle just gets your attention. But the word of God in you is the hope of glory. The word of God that is in you is the miracle. It's what changes you. And we're looking for miracles to change everything on the outside of us. And those things may never change. But if God changes you, oh, that change can change the whole situation. Come on, somebody. Changing you will change the whole situation. And Jesus is telling them, y'all not going to get a miracle. If you need a miracle, you need to pay attention to the evidence. Because they're going to try you and they're going to say, we need a sign from you. We want to see a miracle. But Jesus is saying that don't pay attention to my abilities, because my abilities doesn't define my identity. Not my abilities. It's the evidence is what proves my identity. Come on, somebody. It's the evidence. Anybody, listen, this person has the ability, you have the ability to be faithful, but you're not. Somebody over there has the ability to be successful, but they're not. Your abilities don't define your identity. Your abilities don't define your identity, but the evidence proves your identity. Come on. When somebody asks you, show me proof that God is real. Show me proof. You can show them proof after proof after proof. But if it is not revealed to them by God himself or having some divine experience, they're not going to believe. Because a belief is like a rock or a stone. It's hard. It's rigid. It's hard to break. It's lifeless. It could be a person. That rock could be your religion. That rock could be a political party. It could be your tradition. It could be your fears. It could be your trauma. Your rock is the framework that makes you, you. It shapes you. It's how you're identified. And Jesus is warning his disciples. He's saying, look, beware of these folks. Beware of the teaching of this types of groups who tries to get you to prove you are what the evidence already says. Come on, somebody, you are. And in this story, the group that Jesus is referring to are the major Jewish religious parties, that the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the Pharisees were more about the tradition of their religion. They were more about the feasts and the cultures and the celebrations. But the Sadducees were more about politics and more interested in the letter of the law. They were rigid. No compassion. You break the law, you owe. But both of these two totally different sects of the same religion both agreed on one thing, that the identity of Jesus Christ was a threat to their personal agendas. They didn't want to step aside from their own authority for the revelation and authority of God. And this detached these groups from God. This was God's religion. And because they didn't want to make God authority over their faith, they didn't want to make God their rock, it detached them from God. Come on, somebody, can you imagine? God gives you something that elevates your identity, like a new business, maybe a marriage. Maybe you're single and you're free being single. A new position, maybe a college degree, a new opportunity. He gives you the instructions to maximize that identity. And he does it for the purpose to set you apart from everybody else, right? And for years and years and years, you don't follow those instructions. You do what you want to do, but you sure know how to condemn others that don't follow those instructions, right? But God is so merciful. He has mercy on your business. He shows you mercy. He saves that business. He saves that marriage. He saves your position. He saves your education, your new opportunity. He saves your life. He gives you mercy. And as soon as he shows up to take over, look, I'm going to take it from here. I saved you, and I'm going to take it from here. And I'm going to win everything you lost back. As soon as he shows up, you reject him. You reject him and his identity. You would rather have authority and lose than give God all authority and win. And Jesus is saying, watch out for these people. See, watch out for them. Seeing a miracle won't change or convince them. They don't want to change. And if you don't watch out for them, they will deceive you because they are deceived. They are blinded by their own rock, which is detached from God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They are detached by their own faith and their own rocks, their own little rocks. From God. And so Jesus takes all of his disciples. He says, come on. He takes them up on this high mountain, this elevated rock. He takes them to Caesarea Philippi, this elevated place, which was once known as the epicenter for worship. This is where all the religions came and worshiped. This is where they worshiped Baal God, which was the Canaanite god, and the Pan god, which was the ancient Greek god. And they came and they worshiped. You had statues and structures of the Emperor Augustus. And you had all of these other people that people adored and made their rock. They honored them. And Jesus says to them, as he stands on this elevated place where all of these gods were worshiped, he stands there. And he asked the questions to his disciples, and he says, how does the people out there, the ones that are detached, the ones that are looking for miracles, I want to see a sign. Those people who are detached from me, what are they saying about me? How do they identify me as? And the disciples rose up and says, they view you like the other prophets. You're just like the other ones. You know, just Jeremiah, Isaiah. You're like the other ones, just like them. And how many of you know what it's like to work hard, separating yourself from everyone else? And people are saying you are the same thing. Who am I talking to? They're saying you're the same preacher. You're just like the same. You're the same teacher. You're like the last person I dated a year ago. You're like the last person I was married to. You're like the same thing. And you can't break free of people's inability to see you as God sees you, as you are. These people can't break free of their own rocks. Come on. Your rocks, those little rocks, are blocking you from seeing what God has revealed. Come on. I know I'm talking right down your street. You've been praying for God to change your husband. I know. But you still cussing him out. God saved the man, but you still cussing him out. You ask to change your wife, you still finding up and making up excuses on ways to step out on her. God elevated and matured the child, but you still see them as little Chris or little Ashley. God saved your life, but you are still finding ways to entertain those habits. Those habits that are still trying to kill you. You are still connected to those little rocks, to your rocks. And the disciples are saying, these are the people, the ones seeking the miracles, are identifying you like the other prophets, just like everybody else. Come on. This is why miracles don't change you. It doesn't convince you. Only faith in Jesus Christ can change you. Sometimes the situation won't change. But faith in God changes you, which changes the situation. And so Jesus says, okay, enough of that. Oh, man, I can only imagine. Enough of that. What do you say? What are the ones that have been following me, the ones that have been connected to me, what do you identify me as? And I can only imagine Peter just stands up in front of all of them and says, ooh, you are the Christ. I got it. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Come on. And this claims, while they're on this mountain, we're all on this elevated mountain where all of these gods and religious figures were worshiped. This claim sets Jesus' identity apart from any other god, any other prophet. Because Jesus says this. He says, no human, not even the thoughts in your own head, can reveal that claim to you. Not a political party, not the news, not your spouse, not your yoga instructor, not your therapist, not even your church. I know that messed you up, but not even your church can give that to you. He says, but my Father in heaven revealed that. My Father in heaven revealed my identity to you. The only way you can know the identity of God is it has to be revealed by God himself. Come on, somebody. If you're someone who is listening to the sound of my voice and you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, you ought to shout hallelujah, right? Because no human can reveal that to you. God revealed that. Which means you can never say that God ain't ever showed you nothing. He had to reveal that. He had to reveal that to you. And Jesus tells Peter, Simon, he says, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. This is what man knows you as. This is what everybody sees you as, Simon Bar-Jonah. But Jesus says, but you are Peter. You were that when I first told you. You are Peter. Now you see it. My identity is now revealed by God. Before, Peter was trying to live out his identity, trying to find it. He was Peter, Petros. Petros is a rock separated. It's unattached from the sheetrock. You can't build on a detached rock. But having the revelation of Christ's identity unlocks the revelation of your identity. Come on, somebody. You go from a detached rock, Petros, to a rock covered by a bedrock, Petra. Petra is a bedrock. Petros is a detached rock. Petra is a bedrock. And Jesus says, upon this rock, the bedrock, upon the Petra, on the revelation that I am the Christ, I will build my church, my ecclesia. I will build my church. The church is the revelation to know. It is the revelation to know that Jesus is the Christ. That is the foundation of this rock, of this church. And your identity is then discovered when you connect. When you connect with him as the rock. Come on, somebody. Your identity is hinged on that relationship. Yes, your identity is hinged on that connection. Based on that connection. Your identity. Otherwise, you're just a detached rock. But the connection that, the revelation that you have that Jesus is the Christ is connecting your identity. And based on that connection, the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. That's right. No weapon formed against you can prosper. It won't work. That means if you connect with Christ as your rock, that negative thoughts can't prevail. If you connect that Jesus is your rock and you put that rock in your heart, do you know your heart can't be broken? Do you know if you put that rock in your marriage, the devil can't touch it? Do you know if you put Jesus as your rock on your job, they can't touch you? Do you know if you put Jesus in your home? Oh, what if you put Jesus as your rock in your home? Come on. What if you put Jesus as your rock, a part of your government? Yes, your governmental ideologies. Because the Bible says the government shall be upon his shoulders. And we shall identify him as Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And to his government, there shall be no end. He's my rock. Come on, somebody, say it with me. He's my rock. Like the moon to the earth, Jesus covers me. Like the moon to the earth, Jesus protects me. Like the moon to the earth, Jesus balances me. Like the moon to the earth, he shines a light when it gets dark. Hallelujah. Like the moon to the earth, he became lifeless so that I might have life. Like the moon to the earth, he never leaves my side. Like the moon to the earth, he's my rock. He is my rock. He is my rock. Hallelujah. And when you're looking to discover your identity, connect with Jesus. Connect with them. Because we're all cut from the same rock. Family. Discover your identity. Your purpose, is right now. It's right now. It's right now. Discover your identity because it's in Jesus Christ. Before I pray, I just want to minister to you right now. Some of us have to put some skin in the game. I can't, it's not even my style to ask for money or anything of that nature. God has everything. He owns everything. But some of us got to put some skin in the game in order for you to discover your identity. Your money, to some of you, is your rock. And this is why you are stuck. This is why you are stuck. Promotion comes from the Lord. How can he trust you with much when the little he gave you is held on like a rock? Like a rock. He gives to his people to whom he trusts will give. And if you give, he gives more back to you because he trusts you. Do you trust him? Money will never fulfill you. But serving God as your rock, Petra, the bedrock, is the fulfillment of your identity. Don't let your past, don't let your money, don't let your political ideas, don't let unforgiveness, don't let anything detach you from your identity. You'll discover your identity. You'll discover your identity when you let go of those little rocks and make Jesus your rock. Hallelujah. I pray that this message blessed you. I pray heaven smiles on you. That is my prayer. He's my rock. He's my rock. And that defines my identity. Hallelujah. Let me pray for you. If you're looking to discover who you are, I want to pray directly to you. If you don't know who you are, if you don't know where you're going, if you want to know, if you want to have a greater relationship with Christ, I want to pray for you. Will you pray with me? Bow your heads. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this message. I thank you for giving us revelation to who we are. And that information can only be revealed to us once we discover who you are. God, thank you for this word that has blessed our hearts, God. Lord, help us to lean on what you've already done for us, on the evidence, so that we don't go out and search for abilities or for miracles. Because, Lord, we don't have to search out there for any miracles when the miracle is already taking place in here, which is a sign for the unbelievers, is a sign so that they know what God has done. That's the evidence. God, I pray for anyone, oh God, that is dealing with their identity. Lord, would you help them open up their hearts to make you their Lord and Savior, their rock in which we stand. If you pray that prayer, I believe that God is going to reveal to you your identity. God bless you. May heaven smiles on you. I'll see you next time. God bless.